Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ryan Scott. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Ascentage Pharma, we had the pleasure of speaking with Elias Jabbour, MD, a professor in the Department of Leukemia, Division of Cancer Medicine, the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Jabbour discussed the activity and utilization of alvinbatinab in chronic myeloid leukemia, highlighted the implementation of third-generation TKIs like alvinbatinab in this patient population, and expanded upon the role that TKIs can play in the management of malignancies beyond CML and ALL.
Starting with ALL, we're still seeing the combination of immunotherapy and TKIs evolving. Blinatumomab, blinatumomab are quite promising so far. With the blinatumomab and ponatinib, we have a 3-year survival of 90%, which is amazing. We have 5-year survival with the blinatumomab of 80%. These are really going to change the standard of care. Which one is better? We do not know yet. I know the Italian have shown at ASH blinatumomab and ponatinib compared to blinatumomab. It seems that the blinatumomab and ponatinib lowered the relapse rate early on. Further follow-up is needed. We've seen asciminib combination as well with steroid and dasatinib. Not earth-shaking, but early results are good to further build on them. Well, there's one update from China. We're using CAR-T upfront in ALL. I think that's interesting, although small number of patients, but the field is evolving into immunotherapy upfront. In CML, we've seen the new TKIs evolving as well. Already we have 5-6 TKIs available, but you see data from olverembatinib showing efficacy in patients with failed ponatinib and asciminib, which is quite good. There's another drug from a company called TGRX that have been shown at ASH as well with very promising results as well. So good data shown at ASH in CML and ALL. So olverembatinib is a very potent tyrosine kinase inhibitor in a third generation that has shown a good efficacy so far. Oh, there's data as well showing combination of vincristine and olverembatinib and oblatinib as well. Quite good responses. Of course, we need longer follow-up to see if these are going to be a new standard of care. We do not know yet, but that is something to keep an eye on. Again, when it comes to fedratinib, we're using olverembatinib, but blinatumomab and olverembatinib is quite promising, and that is to be explored down the road. In relapse refractory setting, what is the activity of olverembatinib in CML and fedratinib? In a relapse refractory setting, olverembatinib in CML can influence probably around 50%. In patients failed multiple TKIs, including patients with resistance to asciminib and ponatinib, which is quite significant and meaningful. In ALL, fedratinib positive at ASH, there were data combining olverembatinib with blinatumomab, olverembatinib with low-dose chemotherapy. All have shown very good CR rate, approaching 60-70%. The future is to combine olverembatinib with blinatumomab. How are surgery TKIs poised to overcome resistance to prior TKIs? They cover all of the mutations. They need very low IC50 to overcome most of the mutations, including T790M mutation and compound mutation, and that makes them more potent and more relevant for our practice. So where does olverembatinib have the potential to fit within CML patient paradigm? In CML, the drug is going to be tested in a patient who failed 2 TKI, similar to asciminib, and that will be a registrational study. In patient with T790M mutation will be single-arm trial as well in patient failed 1 TKI, and that will lead to the approval, hopefully, of the drug. The future will be to test the drug in a front line and a second line as well. In ALL, yes, we can try the drug in a practice setting within the future to get it front line. It can be done similar to the trial called Falcon, means you combine olverembatinib with low-dose chemotherapy and you compare it to imatinib plus low-dose chemotherapy. This is one path to get an approval or a combination with a blinatumomab, and that is quite exciting. In general, what should patients keep in mind when using third-gen TKI like olverembatinib, which was CML and ALL, related to safety? So far, what we face in patients who received ponatinib was cardiovascular event and to no extent with asciminib. So far, from the limited experience we have with olverembatinib, it seems to be safer. and quite potent. And that is a major advantage compared to TKI available today. The drug can cause TKI increase, but that has been irrelevant because it doesn't cause any cardiovascular problems. And we've seen as well some skin change color and protein in urine, but these were irrelevant. How do you sequence a TKI information with CML? And what role do PKIs play in this patient decision? How I choose my TKIs will be based on several factors. Number one is age of the patient, older or younger, because younger, I want to aim to stop therapy. And then for I favor second gen TKI, where older patient, I want to aim for only survival and imatinib is good. So aim and goal of therapy. Risk factor, SoCal score disease, high SoCal, low SoCal. If somebody had high SoCal score disease, I want to favor second gen TKI. Comorbidities of the patient, somebody with lung injuries, I want to avoid dasatinib. Somebody with vascular problem, I want to avoid nilotinib. This play a role as well. And finally, the cost to drug to pay, because generics are so cheap and affordable. If your copay is expensive, of course, I don't want to favor generic drugs. How do I sequence them? I can go either imatinib frontline, then second line will be dasatinib, and then third line will be ponatinib as available today, drug commercial available. If I start on dasatinib frontline, then my second line will be ponatinib, and then alternative will be asciminib. And then how do you usually determine which TKI you use for patients with ALL? How do combination regimen play into account? I think the best drug support for ALL has been ponatinib, and therefore this is the best drug to be used. I do favor immunotherapy combination, especially if someone has B190 and not CML in the background. Do you see a role of TKI immunogenicity beyond CML and ALL? The answer is potentially yes. There are some data showing that these TKIs can play a role in Philadelphia-negative ALL, mainly Philadelphia-like ALL. We'll see how things will evolve. There's some data on FLT3 inhibition as well, but that is not so exciting. In CML, I think we cure this disease. It's just tuning to find the best TKI and stop the treatment. In ALL, I think the cure is happening in our lifetime. Introduction immunotherapy upfront is going to cure this disease.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Onc Live On Air, sponsored by Ascentage Pharma. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.